Hello everyone, what is happening? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Court. We are coming to you today with a recap for the Monte Carlo Masters. If you listened to last week's episode, you will know we did a little like look ahead situation, even though the tournament had sort of already started, but we did like a little preview and a look ahead. So today's episode, we're going to talk about who won. We're going to talk about who made it to the finals, what they're seeing in consistency and game, and all of that. I apologize if you can hear sirens. For some reason, there is a lot of activity outside. It is a very hot day here. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I just wanted to preface that before we get into it. But Monte Carlo, for those of you who don't know, the Monte Carlo Masters is a ATP tennis tournament in Monte Carlo, Monaco. If you're not familiar where Monaco is, it is a country on the southern border of France. I learned yesterday, it is smaller in size than Central Park, which is crazy. That is, sorry, I had to pause that for a second, y'all. Holly had a little mishap, but she is all good now. It is smaller in size, I believe, than Central Park. Monaco. I'm going to look up the act. So it's 514 acres. It has an area of 2.1 kilometers or 510 acres, and a population of a lot. A current population of 38,400, and it makes Monaco the second and smallest, most densely populated. Densely populated country in the world. So there you go. There's your little history on Monaco if you're not familiar with Monaco. And every year they have the Rolex Monte Carlo Masters, which is an ATP 1000 tournament. For those of you who don't really know the difference between a 500 or a 1000, it just comes down to the level of points that you receive when you win. And obviously the overall prize money is bigger. The trophies are bigger. Everything's just bigger at an ATP 1000 Masters tournament versus an ATP 500 or an ATP 250. So there's those different, you know, different, they're not rankings, but the different categories, I guess. And obviously in terms of the ATP rankings, it does, obviously you get more points the further you get along in the tournament, which is a set case for any tournament, any Grand Slam. It's the same way. You get more points and more prize money each round that you stay on. And that's why you'll see a lot of fluctuation in rankings if players lose earlier in the tournament versus later in the tournament. That's just kind of how it goes. But we are going to get in now to some of the players and how their tournament went. We're going to start with Novak Djokovic. I said to you guys in last week's episode that Novak Djokovic, I wasn't sure that he was going to make it that far in the tournament. He did make it to the semifinals, which was awesome. Obviously losing on Saturday to Casper Ruud. And then obviously Casper going on to play the final against Stefanos Tsitsipas, and then Tsitsipas eventually taking the title. So with that being said, I think the overall performance from Djokovic was decent. I did see there in a couple of the matches and some of the footage that I caught, it was very hot down there. There was a little bit of fatigue and things like that that started to creep in. But yeah, I think overall it was a good result. I mean, getting to the semifinals of any tournament is always a great result. And I think definitely keeping with that consistency is something that he was able to do. So I think that's cool. Who are we going to jump? So let's talk about Tsitsipas. In the last few months, he hasn't been as consistent with tournaments are as consistent with results to right into the second week of a tournament. He's sort of been bowing out around the second or the third round, which is usually week one of a tournament, unless it's a smaller tournament and there is only a week of play, but the earlier rounds. And excuse me. Obviously, this week he was able to take the Monte Carlo title for a third time. And you really saw sort of, I watched a couple of his matches, and as some of you know, he's not one of my favorites, but I still do watch some of his matches because I think he's an incredibly talented athlete. And definitely the consistency throughout this tournament was something that I've not seen since last year. So yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing, and hopefully that, you know, with it being clay court season, hopefully that will lead him into a really good run the rest of the clay court season, and then also into back into the hard court season after grass. So yeah, that's what I think about that. I do think that Casper Ruud is Ruud, however y'all pronounce it. I believe people say both, but he definitely was a surprise standout for this tournament for me. I wouldn't have thought that he would make it this far, you know, because you expect Medvedev and all those to sort of make it to the final round. So semis. But I just wasn't anticipating that would be where Casper landed, let alone beating the world number one. But obviously it was great for him. It was a great achievement. If you saw on the day, you saw his players box, they were so thrilled when he won against Novak, and obviously equally as thrilled for him to play in a final. He did really, really well, and it definitely gave Tsitsipas a run for his money, but ultimately it didn't work out exactly as he would have hoped, I'm sure. But overall, it was a really great tournament from him. And yeah, I really think that it was a good tournament overall. It's definitely a tournament that I would like to get to one day, and sort of continue, yeah, to see those type of tournaments. So I'm going to go with the fact we have new... we do. So I just want to run over the ATP rankings as they stand right now. So number one is Djokovic, two is Jannik Sinner, three is Carlos Alcaraz, four Daniel Medvedev, five Zverev, six Casper Ruud. So he's come up four places. Tsitsipas has come from 9 to 7, which is wonderful. Rublev has gone down by two. He's 8 now. Hercaraz is currently 9, and Dimitrov is currently 10. Holger Rune has dropped outside of the top 10, which is unfortunate. Obviously, losing in the earlier rounds, you would kind of expect that. Alex Diminar, has also dropped outside, so he's kind of plateaued a little bit though as well. This week Taylor Fritz is down to 15 from 13. Tommy Paul is stationary at 16. And then we have so inside the top 20 there's three Americans: Shelton, Fritz, and Paul. Tiafoe is 23. And Sebastian Korda is gone up 1 to 25. And then, of course, there is a bunch of others in between, but they're plateaued or their rankings have stayed the same. We're going to look at the live rankings to see what the possibility of change might be. So Alexander Zverev, he is gone over to Munich to play the ATP 250 over in Munich. Casper Ruud has gone over to play the ATP 500 in Barcelona, which is also where Rafael Nadal is. Stefano Tsitsipas is going over there. Rublev is over there. And then Diminar is playing Barcelona. Fritz is over in Munich. So right now on is Bucharest, Munich, and Barcelona. So we have the Barcelona Open, and we'll give you guys a little bit of a recap on that next episodes. And you might hear me tapping in the background, but I just want you guys to know that I'm always looking for, like, always making sure what I'm providing is the latest up-to-date information in real time. So I post these the same day, the results from the same day or the same couple of days before that. That's just how we play things, no pun intended there. That's just how we do it. That's how we like to keep the flow moving. And yeah, it's definitely something that is important to us to bring real-time results. So Barcelona, looking ahead, some predictions. It started on the 13th. It's going to the 21st. If you hear tapping or hammering in the background, please do ignore that for the moment. It won't be around long. They're actually fixing the roof next door. So there is not a whole lot we can do about that because we have set up the studio in the house. So that's how it goes. So it looks like Casper Ruud has made his way down to Barcelona. So let's see. See the predictions. Obviously, my predictions for Monte Carlo were completely wrong and definitely didn't turn out as we had anticipated. You know what? I think I'm gonna go with an oldie but a goodie. I'm gonna go with Rafael Nadal, to be perfectly honest. If he's even still, yeah. So I'm going to go with Rafa. Just because I'm excited. Wait, what? So, guys, it looks like, okay, so they're basically saying that this might be the last time that we see Rafa at the Barcelona Open. If you guys know, he's been injured on and off quite heavily. I feel like this might be the last time that we, like, see Rafa, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know if there will be much more Rafa around. Rafael Nadal has confirmed that he will return to tennis at the Barcelona Open for a first-round clash with Flavio Cavoli of Italy. After missing Indian Wells and then Monte Carlo, there were real concerns for Nadal's fitness as he bids to sign off his career in style at the French Open and then the 2024 Paris Olympics. So, yeah, it seems as though he's making an exit. This will be his last tournament in Barcelona. Rafael Nadal is ready enough to play on Tuesday in what he expects to be his last Barcelona Open. Nadal on Monday confirmed his participation in his first clay court tournament this year. It was a positive week of training and I'll be on the court, says Nadal. Nadal, a 12-time champion in Barcelona, had hip surgery last summer, for those of you who don't know, and he hasn't played much since then. So you know what? For the hell of it, why not? Predictions, I don't know if he will win, but we're going to go with Rafa because I would like to see him win for a final time. That's very interesting. I wasn't aware of all of this news around Rafa until now, because obviously we have been focused on Monte Carlo. Yeah, we've been focused on that. Right. Okay. He has not played a match on clay, that's right, since winning the French Open in 2022. Despite viewing 2024 as his final year as a professional, the veteran player said he was not setting any deadlines on his actual retirement, but strongly hints that 2024 will be his final season. There you go. Well, that's the Rafa news. Around town. Excuse me, guys. It's been a very heavy weekend after everything that happened in Sydney. So I'm still trying to like get back into the swing of things, and my mind is slightly somewhat distracted. But I still wanted to be able to release this episode for y'all today and not miss my upload schedule. So yeah, that is pretty much the news, the updates, everything happening on the tennis front. I did want to see if Grigor Dimitrov is going to play. No, he is going to take a break for the moment, I guess. We'll see him back on court, hopefully in one of the next tournaments. So that's the update on that. I think we might pop over to the World Surf League. And check some updates for y'all. Let's see what's going on around there. All right, so we are over in the Margaret River Pro over in WA, Western Australia, for those of you who aren't familiar. That has been going on for a couple of days now. And I am just hopping on here to see if we can get some good updates as to some of the heats. All right, so it looks like we've got So with some results, we have Ewing, Medina, and quite a few others through. Fitzgibbons, Robinson, and Robson. We have another day coming up of the Margaret River Pro today. So what we're actually going to do is I will not talk too much more about that. We are going to do a recap on that after the first couple of days, as we're only on day two of that tournament. I guess it is essentially a tournament. So we will look at that in another episode. We're also going to look at what some have said is the final year of Kelly Slater being on the surfing tour. So we're going to look at that as well, look at the possibilities, look at what we think may happen, what may not happen, and if we truly think that he's going to retire for good. So we'll look at that on next week's episode, or who knows, we might have a surprise episode later this week. But I just want to, of course, once again, thank you guys for joining me this week in this quick little snapshot 20-minute episode, and for talking all things Monte Carlo Masters. We will talk more about some WTA tournaments next week, and talk a little bit about AFL as well. we still have that episode to drop that is about the history of the AFL. We're just finding the right time to drop that episode. It is done. It's ready to go. But we're just trying to see the right time because all these tournaments keep piling up and all these things keep happening and we want to keep bringing you this awesome information. So we're going to get there, guys. We're going to get it moving. It is moving. We are doing this. It is happening. And we want to thank you guys for sticking around and for listening to Off the Court, Off the Field, Off the whatever. But ultimately, thank you guys for listening to Off the Court. Don't forget to go and follow us on social media at Off the Court Podcast. And you're also going to see all the latest updates there as well as we try and post daily and in real time. So once again, I'm Paris. Hope you guys have a good week.